If you're a little cramped for space constraint, come on up here. I'm used to people preaching. I'm preaching with people behind me and in front of me. So if you feel like you need a little room, come on up here. That'd be fine. To the visitors here, let me say you're welcome to be back at Calvary Baptist Church. To our members, thank you for coming back. As visitors, welcome. Members, thank you for coming back and being in your proper place. And don't forget, we will start our revival services tonight here at Calvary at 6 o'clock, prayer room 5:30. You lift up the man of God, Brother Matthew Higgins, the pastor of Round Hill Baptist Church, as he comes to share the Word of God with us. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to start out in the book of Genesis, chapter number 37 this morning. And then we'll just go right on through a few verses, and then we'll go over to another chapter in the book of Genesis. This morning, with the Lord as my helper, I want to preach on this thought: stop the blame game. You say, stop the blame game. What? Who are we blaming? We blame circumstances. We blame society. We blame our upbringing. We blame our parents. We blame our children. We're inundated with blame. We just have a hard time accepting responsibility for our own actions. And that's just the way that it is. Most recently, Miss April. Are you still here, honey? Miss April. Where's Miss April? Oh, Miss April, I owe you an apology. I did not put out a phone tree on Friday when Miss April's mother passed away, and it did not dawn on me. I was praying for you. I'd been praying for you. We'd been there at the hospital, and it just did not dawn on me that I had not told your church family that your mother passed. So for that, I'm sorry. But it did not dawn on me until this morning that I had not done that. And I was at the funeral of another whenever the word came that your mother had passed. And then that evening, Miss Belva was in a car accident. You remember that? And some of you knew that. I know many of you were there. Miss Belva was banged up but not severely injured. She got to go home and thank the Lord for that. But with everything going on, I feel like I failed you. And but here's what I'm saying. I take responsibility for that. This morning, Miss Jean put out a message saying to the ladies of the church that we're going to be feeding the family of Miss April and whatever you put on there. But I felt like right then and there when Miss Cindy came to me and she said, did you ever put out a message on the phone tree concerning April's mother? And I said, you know, I didn't. And she said, well, I didn't know, because when Miss Jean called, she said, I think that was the first mention of it on the phone tree. And then I've had Brother Tam and some others that had been out of town, and they didn't get the message until now. And if you didn't get reached out to by some, it's probably because they didn't know. And for that, I'm sorry. But I take full responsibility for that. I can say, well, I was busy and blah, blah, blah. No, I'm responsible for that if I'm the one supposed to do that. And I take full accountability for that. And Miss April, I'm sorry I didn't put the word out for you. But let's do pray for Miss April. It's so easy for us to try to assign blame. It's so easy for us to look into a past circumstance. The only one in here that knows the situation that we grew up in would be my little brother. And he'll tell you, we grew up much like some of you. It was very hard. It was a difficult childhood. The upbringing sometimes, Brother Ryan, I wonder how we made it through it. I wonder how that we have functioning families now, because our family was so dysfunctional growing up. And you've always heard it said that if you're brought up in the home of a drunk, you'll be a drunk. If you're brought up in the home of an abuser, you'll become an abuser. If you're brought up in the home of an adulterer, you'll become an adulterer. My friends, aside from God's grace, you may do all that, but if you get saved by God's grace, He will deliver you from all of that, and you have nobody to blame except yourself. You have to take responsibility for your own actions. It's not always going to be somebody else. It would be very easy for either Ryan or myself or either of our other brothers to say that because we had this growing up, or because we had that, faced that growing up, that we are like we are. We are like we are by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that's the only claim that we have, that it is by the grace of God that we're here today. It's by the grace of God that God Almighty would love somebody unworthy to love such as I am and you were. And bless God, but He saved us, Brother Joe, by His marvelous grace. And it's time that we take and stand up and take accountability for our own actions. I asked Brother John back in the prayer circle, and I've asked others this morning, where is the age of accountability in the Bible? What's the common answer? It's not there. Is that not what you told me, Brother John? It's just not in there. You say, you mean there's not an age of accountability? I've heard that preached my whole life, that there's an age of accountability. And once that person reaches that age of accountability, bless God, they better choose right, choose wrong, or they're going to choose the one way or the other. There is an age of accountability. It's through the precepts of God's Word. It's clearly defined throughout the Scriptures. David's baby died. He said, I can't bring the baby back, but I should go to it. And that's a direct reflection that that baby in its infancy died and went to heaven. And we know that that's the way it is. I don't believe babies are cast into a devil's hell. But it's clearly in the Scriptures that when a man comes up to a certain age, that he then will be held accountable. And you say, what is accountability? That's nothing more than one taking responsibility for his own actions. And you will take responsibility for your own actions. You will stand before God as who you are right now. If you are a Steve Mahaffey, if you are a Gerald Roberts, if you are a me, you will stand before God as yourself. You won't stand there with a fan club. You will not have a support group behind you. You will not have the family to lean on. You will not have witnesses to go on your account, Brother Varun, and say, well, he really was a good guy. Because God already knows everything about you. God already knows everything about me. There's not somebody there rooting you on into heaven saying, he was a good boy. He did this for me. She did that for me. No, bless God, you'll stand before God and you'll stand before him as either a lost man or a lost boy, or a lost girl or a lost woman, or you'll stand there as one that is saved by God's grace, and you will know that you're supposed to be at whichever judgment that you're going to be at the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. You'll know why you're there, to be judged for the deeds done in your body, be they good or bad. But if you end up at the great white throne judgment, you'll know why you're there. It's because you rejected the Holy One. You rejected the grace of God. So let's don't blame. And I could go back earlier in the book of Genesis and we can look at the original sin and say that it started early and it goes long, because Adam said, that woman, you remember that? That woman that thou gavest to me, she gave me the fruit. It starts early. Instead of Adam saying, I'm going to man up. I was weak. I sinned against you, God. And then the woman, whenever it comes time for her to account for God, to God, that serpent beguiled me. So it's always a string of finger pointing. I'm pointing at you and you're pointing at her and he's pointing. Folks, it's us. It's me that stands in the need of prayer. It's me that stands in the need of God's grace. It's me that stands before God as a needy creature. And that's what we're going to see. But even as I preach all this morning, I want to show you one. And he's found in these pages here that rose above the finger pointing, that rose above the name, the blame, the game. He rose above all of that, Brother Larry. He didn't say that because of this or because of that. And you'll see it as I preach the message this morning. I would invite you all over the house of God to stand and reverence the reading of God's Word. We're in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. And don't forget all the announcements. Get your copy of the church bulletin if you need one. If you don't have one, there's probably some in the foyer, both back here and back there. On your way out, pick you one up. And just be informed about the announcements and stuff coming up. Miss April, we are praying for your family, honey. Let the church love on you. I know they're going to set you a meal. Make sure that your sister and it and the rest of the family get that memo that since the funeral's over there and the burial's at Mount Lawn, that they're going to have to come back over here because it'll be set at the Life Center. But let us love on you, honey. And I do apologize for not getting that out to the church. Church, I apologize for not letting you know that Miss April had a tragedy in her life and something she's going to have to deal with. It's just not too far removed, Miss April, that we were in your place. And we're praying for you. I know exactly. I can honestly say right now, a year ago at this time, I couldn't say that, but I can say I know how you feel to lose your mama. I know that. Let's read the Scriptures. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 37, and we'll pick up the reading in verse number 3. The Bible said, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And I want you to see this, and I want you to hear this, and I want you, as I start reading down through here, I want you to find all the occasions that this young man by the name of Joseph, who, whether or not you believe this to be true, was a picture and a type of Christ in the old Bible. He clearly defines what it is to be that God put in our lives through the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that he was Christ. I'm saying that he is a picture or a shadow, a type of Jesus in this passage. You'll see that. But yet Joseph, in every occasion that he had to point his finger, in every occasion that he had to point back to his heritage, he didn't do that. He rose above that. And I want you to see that. The Bible said, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood around about, and made obeisance to my sheaf." His brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt indeed have dominion over us?" Can you not just hear the disgust in their voices? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. Brother Tam, good to have you back today. Would you ask God to bless us? Amen. As you're being seated now, I want you to see some of the many reasons that Joseph may have had some kind of angst in his heart, some reason he may have had some hatred or some type of envy or some feelings of emotions toward those that would betray him. We've not even got to the true betrayal yet, but the Bible said they hated him, and then they hated him the more, and then that they envied him. But if anybody in this Bible could lay claim to blame, it ought to have been Joseph. You can go fast forward to the New Testament, and then you'll look at somebody like a Paul. The Apostle Paul was a murderer from the start. He was a devout Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Jew of the Jews. But Paul, he made no bones about it. He said, "I was the chiefest of sinners." And he just didn't make no bones about it, Brother John. Under grace, Paul knew what had happened because he was the one that had been smitten on the Damascus Road. It was Paul that was delivered, and Paul said, "I just am what I am by the grace of God," and that's what any of us are. But we're focusing on Joseph this morning. And over, you find out that he was favored of his father. You find out that he was hated of his brethren. He was envied for the things that dad had done for him. He was envied. They were envied him, and he was envious because of the dreams that apparently God had given him. And we know they didn't know at the time, but we know that those dreams were come of God because the things that he had dreamed about surely came to pass. But if anybody had a claim to blame their family, it would be Joseph. And I want you to think back about who Joseph is. Listen to his daddy. His daddy's name is Jacob. And Jacob, by name, is nothing more than what? He is a trickster. He is a schemer. He is one that he's full of deceit and disguise. And we know what he did whenever he stole the birthright of Esau. And his mama, being Rachel, was envious over Leah. And you can go back in Genesis 30 and 8 and read some of this stuff in chapter number 30. His stepmother, Leah, was always arguing against Rachel. His uncle Esau hated his dad, Jacob. There was envy, there was strife, there was bitterness, there was turmoil, all in the family. But bless God, you cannot blame your family. You cannot blame this church. You cannot blame your pastor. You cannot blame anybody but yourself for your own actions. And that's what I'm saying whenever I'm preaching about accountability. The accountability is this: it's the day that I take charge of my own sin. It's the day that I take charge and take responsibility for my own actions, because truly they are my actions. Nobody made me do it. Nobody told me to do this or do that. I did it upon my own free will. I did it upon my own choosing. And Brother John, although I was free to choose, I am not free from the consequences of my choice. But here we are. He had every reason through a failed, if you look at it, in some light, a failed family. You said, "Well, Jacob was not a failure because God changed his name to Israel." I understand all that. But if you look at the things that the Bible teaches us about Jacob and about the family situation with Esau and his grandfather Isaac, lied about his grandmother being his wife. Man, they were full of deceit. They were full of lies. His brothers hated him. There was envy all around him. And although we've all got our own past problems, and although, Brother Ryan, we grew up hard and we've got this to point our finger back, bless God, grace is greater than anything that we've ever had to face. You know it and I know it. Man asked me the other day, "Listen to me, I don't apologize for preaching." And I hear Brother Chris or somebody sometime will stand up and they'll have a testimony for a few minutes, and then I'll say, "Well, I'm sorry I said that." Or, you know what I'm talking about. Chris did it last week. He said, "I'm sorry I said all that." It's time that we quit apologizing especially if it's given of God. And I was asked this week, said, how in the world, the way that you preach, do you have such a large congregation? I said, I think that I have such a large congregation because it is the way that God has given me the messages. The harder I preach, the bolder I preach it, the more that the people that love God are going to love it. They're going to eat it up and they're going to desire more of it. But what that person's thinking is through the secular sense that people don't want preaching. They don't want the truth. They just want to feel good. Bless God, I want you to feel good when you come in here. I want you to feel welcome. I want you to feel love. I want somebody to shake your hand and rub your head. I want somebody to make you feel welcome. But if you're lost and undone and you're seeing Brother James, I want you to feel conviction while you're here. I want you to feel like, bless God, I've either got to get in or get out. I'm not going to stay in here in a lost condition too long, because that's what happened. Satan will pacify the sinner sitting in the pew, and the next thing you know, he's just blaming society for the way that he's turned out. Bless God, it's not society that made me the way that I am. Bless God, I am the way that I am by the grace of God. You said, yeah, because you're saved. Bless God, I would be the way I was if I was lost, a sinner on my way to a devil's hell. And I can't say my daddy made me do this or my daddy made me do that. Bless God, I'm my own free will agent. I do whatever I please. You said, well, then why do you do what you do? Because of grace. Are you here because Miss Marlene twisted your ear? Is she even here today? She's sick. But I bet she got you up and said, Larry, you're going to church today because you're going to be a better husband to me today than you was yesterday. No, she didn't do that to you. Wasn't Brother Ernest? Wasn't your brother, Ernie? I bet it was your sister-in-law, Sandra. No, it's grace. Who got you up this morning? You got up. Ryan, do you know what I'm preaching about today? Do we not have every reason to blame somebody? You better believe we do. I wouldn't do that. I love my life. And even looking back, yeah, although it was hard, I love what it is. That stuff helped to shape us and mold us, and it pointed us right to grace. It really did. I have nobody to blame for the failings in my life. I've got many failings in my life, but I promise this, I'm not a failure because of my Savior. Let's go on, flip over just a couple passages in the book of Genesis. I want to show you about this man by the name of Joseph and how I just told you he had every reason to blame. My daddy was a trickster. Even his name means schemer. My uncle Esau, look at him. How about my granddaddy Isaac lying, saying that grandma was his sister? You know, the story could go on and on and on. So I've got liars in my family. I've got schemers and robbers and thieves and liars and drunkards, and I've got prostitutes, and I've got drug addicts, and I've got this one and that one in my life, and I've had that one in my company. Bless God, it's only by the grace of God that any of us are where we're at today. Brother Tam, you were raised in the house of Brother Felman Cheek, as good a man as I know, but you lived most of your life early on lost. Many of you here today were lost church members. As it come out in our Sunday school class, you sat on a pew, you held office, you did the things. Now, who made you do that? It was you and you alone. You can't blame anybody else. Brother Tam, had you died on the other side of grace and died and went to hell, there's no way you're... Can I use you? I have to. You're sitting here and it's a perfect situation. He could not go back. Do y'all love Brother Felman Cheek? I believe you do. He's a great, honorable man of God that served this church well for nearly four decades. If you had died and gone to hell on the other side of grace, you could not stand there and say, my daddy. You can't stand there and say, my wife. You can't stand there and say, my children. You're going to have to stand there. Just you and you alone, and stand before God Almighty, because that's the way the scriptures record that it's going to be. The Bible says we will stand and we will bow. Every single one of us will be there. By all accounts, some of us here today that grew up in these homes of drunkards and all these different things, you didn't turn out that way. You're not a drunkard. You're not an adulterer because your daddy was an adulterer, or just because your mom was into fornication or your daddy was into this or that. You're not that way. What happened? Society tells you if you're an abuser, you're going to abuse somebody. Now, we see that. Miss Macy works in the legal aid of North Carolina. She works with domestic violence abuse all the time. But nobody makes those people do that. You say, well, some of them brought up in bad environments. Yeah, but bless God, grace is there. Grace is there for whoever. It's a whosoever will kind of thing. So let's just stop playing the name game. Look at Joseph's past problems. Look at his parents. Look at all the hatred and the envy. And then look at his own life. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but if you were to look at his life, he had every opportunity, Brother Larry, to be bitter. The Bible said the boys hated him. He told them about a dream, they hated him more. He told them about another dream, they hated him even more. And then they, not just with the hatred, they envied him. Brother Tim, what did they do? They threw him in a pit. Brother James, you told us in Sunday school you weren't brought up in church. These may be foreign stories to you, but brother, they're in the Bible. His brothers, Reuben and Benjamin, all them brothers took him and threw him in a dry well. They took a kid, a goat, and killed it, dipped his blood coat in that coat of many colors, dipped it in the goat's blood, the kid's blood, and took it back to daddy. Just say, hey, he's dead. They plucked him up out of that dry well and sold him into slavery to the Midianite merchant men. Now, I'm telling you, did he deserve that? Did we deserve anything that we've got? But his brothers hated him, Brother Tim. He had every reason to be bitter. But you see, the providence of God was on his life. In that providential protection, Brother John, can you see Joseph walking down to Pharaoh's land, going all the way down through, and he goes into the Egypt's land, and he goes up, and he finally breaks through the fortress and the people, the guards. Brother Jody, he's not getting through that because he is the king. He is Pharaoh. And how can you see an Egyptian allowing an Israelite son to come down there and say, hey, I want to be over all of your grain. I want to be over your gold, your silver. I want access to what you've got because I've got a few million that's going to be in and up down here, and I want to be over your stuff because it's going to get dry up there and there's going to be a famine up there. And old Mr. Pharaoh, I wish that you just put me in charge of that. What's the likelihood of that happening? The likelihood of that happening is zero. It's more likely that Pharaoh would have had him killed and sent his carcass back up to Israel to be a testimony that you don't mess with us down here. But the providence of God was upon him his whole life. Brother Larry, instead of blaming people, he just kind of rolled with the punches. In all of this, he never accused God falsely, Brother Tam. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But after he was drawn out of the pit, sold to the merchant men as a slave, we find him, brother, he would make one step forward, and it seemed like two steps back, and he ends up in the prison. You say, well, how did he get into the prison? Because he was lied against. He ends up and finds favor in friends by a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar found favor in this young man by the name of Joseph and said, hey, while I'm out doing my thing, you stay here and take care of my house. He's the house mouse. He's the house lad. He's the one that's taking care of things. But what happens is while he's there, Potiphar's wife lays eyes on Joseph. He's a great looking young man. And then the next thing you know, she tries to be with him, carnally speaking. And he said, not so. I will not sin against your husband, and I will not sin against my God. And as he fled, she grabbed him by the coat, and the cloak laid behind. And then she told her husband, Mr. Potiphar, that he tried to rape her. So he ends up in prison. Man, I've got every reason now, brother, to blame somebody. I'm going to say that woman, your wife, but that would have got him beheaded. Because no doubt Potiphar loved his wife. He's going to trust his wife. He had every reason to be bitter toward Potiphar's wife. But he just goes with it. Go to the baker and the butler. One died and one lied. Next thing you know, where's he at? He's down in Pharaoh's court, Brother Tam. And we're in chapter number 41. And start with me in verse number 37. The Bible said, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as is this a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. According to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring of his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, and made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all of Israel, over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. So I want you to look. He had every reason through past and parents and all the problem that he had to be bitter against God and to find somebody to blame. Go back and name blame all you want to. Him brothers of mine.
That's why I ended up in the Midianite merchant man's band of caravan. That's why I'm in here. That's why I'm in Potiphar's house. That's why I'm in prison. I'm blaming her because she lied against me. It could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. It's a very easy thing to blame people. But I want you to look now. I told you we were going to go full circle. Go to chapter number 41 as you look down through there. Look in verses number 40 and 41. Thou shalt be over my house, cool the word. Shall my people be ruled. Joseph was blessed to be the governor of the land. Look in verse number 42. Joseph was blessed with many garments. It said he took a garment and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. And then to go down to the latter part of verse number 43, the Bible said that they put a chain about his neck and they would bow down before him saying, bow the knee. He was blessed with glory. And not only that, in verse number 44, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am a Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot. Bless God. God gave him grace and he gave him tender mercies. We keep going in verse number 45. Joseph was blessed with a wife, or he was blessed with a girl. Joseph's future got brighter and brighter. The darker that his situation got, his life got better and better. And his situation was improved over and over. Ryan, is your situation not greatly improved from your upbringing? I'm telling you what, my friends. I live way above my raising. I'm honest with you. The wife that God has given me, my children being in subjection, Brother Luke, I live way above my raising, son. And I believe most of us do. We have it better than our children did. I mean, than our parents did. And our children will have it better than we. But Brother Tam, there's one thing you can't improve upon. And bless God, that's the grace of God. My kids will enjoy the same grace that I do. And Brother John, your kids will enjoy the same grace. And that's why it's so important that we don't blame history. We don't blame society. Bless God, the same grace that Billy Sunday enjoyed, we can enjoy. The same grace that Billy Graham preached in, brother, we can preach in that same grace. The same grace that Spurgeon would write about, it's still our grace. Everything, bless God, it's ours today. Grace doesn't change. It's been the same forevermore. And it's always settled. So what can we blame? Who can we blame? Where can we go but to the Lord? Look at this. I told you that Joseph was a picture, the type of Christ. Genesis 37, where I opened up in verse number 3. Joseph was more loved. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children. Was he not beloved of his father? What did John 3:16 say? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved that son. God loved Jesus Christ. Israel or Jacob loved Joseph. 37 and 13 says these words. Israel said unto Joseph, do thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto them, here I am. And the Bible said that a prophet's not without honor except in his own country, saving his own country. So he was rejected of his own people. Chapter number 37 and verse number 28 tells us that he was sold for a price. Was our Savior not sold for a price? You better believe that he was. And through here over and over, and we're going to go all the way over to Genesis chapter number 50. Because this thing culminates and we close this thing out here in just a few short minutes with some scriptures that shows you the importance of not blaming anybody. I believe it to be because of God's grace, Brother Tam, that I'm standing here before you today. I believe I'm here by God's grace. I believe he let me go through some early things in my life that I might minister to y'all, that I might understand exactly what you go through. And I believe that. And God has molded us to be who we are today. Look what it says in chapter number 50, in verse number 18. Chapter number 50, verse number 18, it said, and his brethren went and fell down before his face. Is that not what the dream said that they would do? Did they not do just that? Will we not then show obeisance to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Will we all not bow down before him? It's right there in the scriptures. What did he do? The Bible said that Joseph forgave them. Look what it says. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass this day to save much people alive. Is that not what the Lord Jesus Christ did? Surely he did. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So all this, the foretelling of the great tribulation, where the lean cattle and the fat cattle, the sheaves bowing down, it was all foretold and it was all pointing straight to one thing. It was pointing to a young man by the name of Joseph who would come up and that would not blame. He would just accept what would come his way. Brother Larry, I'm bitter. You lie against me. You steal against me. You cheat against me. You rag against me and just downgrade and denigrate every facet of my life. Brother, I'm not going to be too favorable to you. And the next thing that happens, I'm going to point back to you and say, Larry made me this way. Brother Larry did this to me. My upbringing did it to me. Boy, I had a rough life. That's why I turned out like I did. That's one of the number one cop-outs when you go to court. Brother Joe, people start pointing back at their finger. Oh, I had a hard time. Spare his life from the death penalty. Kills 10 people. Spare him. He got a whooping when he was 2. Don't hold that against him. His daddy was a drunk. His mama was this. His daddy was that. But the lawyer's going to argue that in his favor and say, well, you got to spare his life. But he's raped 10 young girls. It doesn't matter. His daddy viewed pornography when he was little, and he saw it, and it scarred him. Brother John, there is no place for you to blame anybody. You will stand before God. I will stand before God as my own self. And I'll be there. I'm going to stand before him. I'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says if we're going to give an account of every idle word, every deed, every idle word, Brother Tam, there's a lot of idle words comes out of this big flapping tongue of mine. But the Bible says that we're going to give an account of every word. Do you know, Miss Jan, that he doesn't just know my words, but the Bible says, Brother Charles, that he is the discerner of the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. So he not only knows why we did what we did, he doesn't know just know that we did it, but he knows why we did it. He knows the motive behind that. So there's no room for you, nor for me, nor for anybody in here to point to somebody else and say, that Clay made me do it. Well, I was running around with the wrong crowd. Why were you with that crowd? You're going to stand up somewhere and take accountability for what you've done. This morning, Brother Scott comes. I'm done. I just asked you this. Are you going to keep blaming somebody? You're going to blame societal pressures? You're going to blame your upbringing? You're going to blame that happened in the second grade, third grade, fourth grade, eighth grade, ninth grade? You're going to rise up above that junk. There's pages of my life. If my life, Brother Tam, was a 365-page book and every year was a different book and I had volumes written and now I'm on the 51st volume of the books of my life, a certain chapters, a certain pages, brother, I'm not sure there's not certain volumes that I would want removed. You said, yeah, but preacher, you got saved at 13 years old. But boy, how about 18, 16, 17, 18, 19, when I wasn't close to God? Man, there's some stuff in there, Brother Tim. I'd have to go rip them pages out. I don't blame anybody. I stand before God for those. But guess what, Brother Tim? He's forgiven them. I've been to him. I've asked him to forgive me, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And the Bible tells me, Brother Scott, that he would do just that, because that's why he's faithful and just to do. So as we stand all over the house today, stop playing the blame game.